You guys give them a hand this morning. Wasn't that great? Again, welcome to New Freedom Church. It is so good to see you guys. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 12. It says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been risen from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then there not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised." Verse 16, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead came also through a man. For as Adam all died, so in Christ all will be alive." Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, living, and active today. And I pray, Lord, that you would make your word alive in each and every one of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, this morning, when you think of a man dying on a cross, you probably think of who? Jesus. But over the years, there have been many people that have died on a cross. In 519 BC, the Persian king Darius crucified 3,000 Babylonians. In AD 66, the Romans crucified 3,600 Jews, which started a revolt. By the time was placed back in order, in this time, they had run out of wood for crosses. So over the period of time, there have been so many people that have been crucified. The Romans used it as a deterrent to keep the thumb of oppression upon the Israelites. And so they didn't do this in some kind of backwoods, back behind the scenes event in the dark. No, they crucified people on Highway 41. They crucified people to where that everyone could see what would happen if you crossed the Roman government. And so as you're coming to church, you would see crosses with people crucified. Thousands and thousands of people. Even the Babylonians did this as well. But so when we look at this in the light of what was just spoken, what makes this particular crucifixion so different? Well, the answer is no one else rose from the grave. You don't read in the Bible where thousands and thousands of people was risen again because of being crucified. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. That is the uniqueness about the cross, the uniqueness about who Jesus is, and that he did what he said he was going to do. If it hadn't been for the resurrection, the ministry of Jesus would have ended. His crimes would be ignored, and he would have been simply another religious martyr and forgotten a long time ago. So that's why it's important that we come to a decision in our hearts in regard to the resurrection of Christ. That each and every one of us take stock in our hearts and our spirits and our minds about what Jesus means to you. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus made a provision for all humanity that if you confess him as Lord and repent of your sins, the Bible says you are now born again. You are now forgiven of your sins. Not because Jesus was a good man, not because Jesus was a good teacher, not because Jesus was the son of Mary, not because Jesus was a good rabbi, but because Jesus rose from the dead. He is the Son of God. If you're looking for a way today, he is the way. If you're looking for the truth today, he is that truth. If you're looking for a new start in life, he is that life. Amen? Jesus paid it all. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and he was about to give up his spirit, he cried out one more time and he said, "It is finished. It is finished. It is done." No more do we ever have to worry about, can we ever connect with God? Does God know that we exist? Does God understand my plight? Does God know that I'm hurting? Does God know that I'm lost? Does God know that I'm in pain? Does God know that my sins weigh me down every day? Because Jesus has provided a way. Jesus said, if you would take my yoke, it is easy. He paid it all for us in order that we would come out from the guilt and shame of sin. Now, the resurrection of Jesus was very much a reality. Jesus himself said in Revelation 1, 17 through 18, "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. Behold, I am alive forever and ever." Apart from the resurrection, Jesus could not have conquered death, and death would have conquered us. Amen? Without the resurrection, the good news would be bad news. There would be nothing worth preaching. In essence, I would be out of a job. In essence, you would be without hope. The whole humanity would be without hope if it was not for what Christ had done for us. Without the resurrection, the gospel would be an empty, hopeless message of meaningless nonsense. Here's a list of things that would be worthless if it was not for the resurrection. Number one, faith in Christ would be worthless. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, "And if Christ has not been risen, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." The Hall of Faith, which is found in Hebrews, that depicts how the saints counted themselves as holy and full of faith, would be a hall of fools instead of a hall of faith. We think about Abel and Enoch. We think about Noah and Abraham, Sarah and Moses, Rahab, David, and all of the prophets would have been faithful for nothing. They would have been mocked, imprisoned, stoned, afflicted, ill-treated, and put to death for nothing, living for nothing and dying for nothing. Number two, all witnesses to and preachers of the resurrection would be liars. To deny the resurrection is to call the apostles and every other leader of the New Testament church not simply mistaken, but liars. And the apostles, the prophets, the New Testament writers lied about the heart of the gospel. Why should we believe anything else that they wrote about? All the New Testament truth stands and falls together based on one thing, and that is the resurrection. Jesus said, he made boastful claims. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus didn't say there's alternate routes. If you're good enough, you can go to heaven. If you do enough good deeds, you can go to heaven. If you go to church enough, you can go to heaven. If you go to enough Bible studies, you can go to heaven. Or if you pray enough, you can go to heaven. That's not what he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That is a big, boastful statement that all of humanity hangs upon. Because if Jesus and his claims were not true, today we would still be dead in our sins. There'd be no use to come to church. There would be no church. There'd be no exuberant praise to God. There would be no hope for eternity. There would be no relief from our sins if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus. If it were not for him, all of us would feel the weight of the condemnation that would surely be ours if it were not for the resurrection. Lastly, all men would still be in their sins. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if Christ had not been raised, your faith would be futile. You are still in your sins. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then sin won the victory over him and over all of humanity. There would be no forgiveness of sin or salvation or reconciliation or spiritual life. But thanks be to God that he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He gave us life through his son Jesus. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is a profound statement because all of humanity is lost. All of humanity is undone and wrecked without his grace and forgiveness. It is Jesus that has set us free from the law of sin and death. And because of that, we celebrate. Because of that, we clap our hands. Because of that, we rejoice. Because of that, we have now freedom through what Christ has done for us. When that stone was rolled away, hope sprung up. Grace sprung up. We no longer had to go through a priest any longer. Now we can come boldly before the throne of God, and we can plead our case before the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Acts 5:30, verse 31 says, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. 1 Corinthians 5:22. Or 20 and 22, but Christ has been indeed raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection from the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. In the Old Testament, it's interesting that the writer of 1 Corinthians says that Jesus is the first fruits among the dead. What in the world does that mean? What does that mean? Well, back whenever Israel in the Old Testament would harvest all of their crops and their grains and so forth, they were required by law to bring the first fruits of their crop to the temple and offer it up before God. And after that, they could harvest the rest of their crop. So what does this mean for us? If Jesus is the first fruits and he has been offered up, so we too will be those who are harvested on that day. And that means that we have life and that we can be set free. Thanks be to God. Amen. There's a story about this missionary in Brazil. He was going into the deepest parts of the jungle, the deepest remote parts of this area. And he came across this tribe, and it was situated on this real large river. And when he came in, he realized that A lot of people in the tribe were dying of a disease that was curable. And so what happened was, is he told the chief, he said, listen, I know of a medical treatment center that if we go across the river, we can get there in a few days if you'll cross the river. There was not a bridge, there was not boats. And the chief said, we will not cross the river because evil spirits reside in that river. And the missionary pleaded with them, and he brought them to the edge, the water's edge, and he instructed them. He said, listen, if you'll just step in, it'll be a little chilly, but you're not gonna be possessed by evil spirits. You're not gonna be killed by what's in the water. So he tried to instruct them, and yet they were not impressed. So the missionary stepped into the water up to his ankles. He splashed around a little bit, and yet they did not budge. Knowing that the tribe, half of them were dying of a curable disease, still they would not get in the water. And so he got up to his waist, and he took the water, and he put it in his hands, and he showed them the water, and he splashed it on his face. And yet, they still would not believe. And so the missionary got out of the water. And he went back 15 yards. And he ran and leapt into the water head first. The story goes that as he went into the water, he swam all the way to the other side with his fist up in victory, showing them that there was nothing to be afraid of. And the chief saw this, and all the elders saw this, and they began to rejoice, and they began to shout, because they saw it for their own eyes that death had been overcome. And they all went over to the other side. And you see, this is a type and shadow of us as well. We have been taught the way. We have been taken to the water's edge, and we have been instructed on the truths of God's word. But yet, for some of us, it wasn't enough. And we demonstrate by sticking our ankles in the water and showing you that there is life on the other side. But yet, some still not believe. And then we get in waist deep, and we almost immerse ourselves, and we demonstrate that the water is good and it's okay. But yet still some do not believe. But Jesus took it a step further. He walked 15 yards behind the shoreline and took a run and jump into the waters of death for us. And he came up on the other side victorious. He paid the price for you and I. He was buried in death, but he came alive on the other side to demonstrate that there is a way that leads to life. Amen? Isaiah 53:3-5 says this. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and rejected, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. This punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. That prophetic word was spoken more than 700 years before Jesus and his crucifixion. God was crying out and telling his people, hope is coming. Hope is coming. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for us. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we have been made whole. We have been healed. Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. Today, if it had not been for the resurrection, all would have been lost. Think about that. Today, I'm going to be forthright with you. I'm going to ask you. I'm standing on the water's edge this morning. And I'm going to ask you, as I've already demonstrated the way, I'm going to step down into the water this morning. And I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to receive a Christ who died for you, who took your punishment upon his shoulders. In the Old Testament, last week we celebrated Palm Sunday. When Jesus rode in on the donkey into Jerusalem, they were celebrating Passover. And we talked about what Passover was. When Moses told Pharaoh to let his people go, and 9 times he didn't, and 9 times God sent a plague upon that people, upon Egypt, and still Pharaoh stiffened his neck. And the 10th time that Moses said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh said no. And because of that, God sent a plague upon the land that killed the firstborn child of every household. But Moses instructed the children of Israel how to get out of that, how to have that. The death angel pass over them. And that was, take the best lamb that you have, sacrifice him, and take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost of your home, so that when the death angel passes by, it will not see you, it will see the blood. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God, because he was sacrificed for us. His blood, when we accept him, when we ask for forgiveness, his blood cleanses us. And when God looks at us, he no longer sees our past. He no longer sees what we have done. He no longer sees our sin. He no longer sees our transgressions. He only sees his son's blood. And because of that, we know that we are redeemed. Because of that, we can feel justified. Because of that, we can have peace with God.